This is Chris Spear, and you're listening to Chefs Without Restaurants, the show where I usually speak with culinary entrepreneurs and people working in the food and beverage industry outside of a traditional restaurant setting. So I'm just getting back from the UK, had a great time. I spent 8 days driving through England and Wales, put 750 miles on the rental car, so that gives you any indication of how much traveling I did. But I had a really great time. As a chef, you know, it's always interesting to see food in other countries and look at things that they're doing, like, let's say, sustainability. And I'll save that for another episode. But what I'm getting at is I didn't have time to edit and produce any new episodes for this week. So I'm doing something a little different. A couple of years ago, actually, I was on another podcast as a guest, and we talked for an hour. Much of it relates to my background, and I talk about some of the things that I've talked about before, like how to use Airbnb to get more customers for your personal chef business. I didn't really feel like I wanted to re-release that whole episode here, but we did talk about a couple things that I think are both funny and I got a little fired up about, so this is going to be a different episode. The runtime actually is only about 16 minutes, so we talk about scrapple dip, but we talk about it as it relates to maybe stealing recipes is the best way to put it. And, you know, I have fun with it on the show, but this is something that is kind of a sore spot for me a little bit. And I'm not going to give it away here, but this was a recipe that I had created, thought was pretty unique. And then a couple of years later, a big corporation, it showed up on their website. And I know you can't trademark recipes or whatever, but I did feel like that this was something that was pretty unique to me and that they actually just took something that was mine. And then there's a funny story that I sometimes tell, and it's about how Bill Murray inadvertently ruined my anniversary dinner one time. And again, while on the surface it's a funny story, it actually relates to customer service and, you know, treating everyone the same, regardless of whether they're a celebrity or not, which I think is an important point. And because this comes from a show that's not mine, the tone is very different. It's more, you know, funny, lighthearted. Not that my show can't be those things. You'll also notice there's maybe a little more profanity than you might be used to on this show. It's not outrageous, but just wanted to give you a little heads up here if a couple F words fly here and there. So if that's not your thing, I understand, and you might not want to listen, but it's not like a, you know, vulgar stand-up show or anything like that. Again, I think, you know, the stories are both funny, but also there are real points to them and some lessons there. So I've had some great conversations the past couple weeks. So episodes that'll be coming up soon. I had Nathan Myhrvold of Modernist Cuisine. I've spoken with Glenn Roberts of Anson Mills. Steve Sando of Rancho Gordo. These are all episodes that are going to be coming out in the next couple of weeks that I'm really excited to get to. But because they're a little more long, thorough, in-depth, they're just taking a little more editing to do. So once again, that's why we have this little snippet here from a podcast that I was on a couple of years ago. As always, thanks so much for listening and have a great week.
As a lifelong bourbon enthusiast, I've always been captivated by its rich complexity and fascinated by its history. Bourbon was the first spirit I'd tried when I was old enough to drink. I only wish I'd started with the good stuff. That's why I'm excited to introduce you to Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond. Born from the Shapira family's unwavering passion since 1935, this bourbon's a testament to quality and tradition. Heaven Hill Distillery goes beyond the Bottled and Bond Act of 1897, aging this bourbon for 7 years, three more than required, creating a richer, more sophisticated flavor profile. When you select this premium bottled and bond bourbon, you're also ensured that you're getting a bourbon that's been made in a single distillation season and that it's been bottled at exactly 100 proof. This commitment to excellence is evident in every sip. But don't just take my word for it. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond won the double gold at the 2023 World Spirits Competition in San Francisco, New York, and Singapore, as well as the 2023 Triple Still Award from the Tasting Alliance. Discover the award-winning Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond for yourself. Whether you enjoy it neat, on the rocks, or as the cornerstone of a cocktail, it's a bourbon that stands apart. Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond delivers a flavor profile that's unmatched. Available nationally at your local retailer. Embrace the premium quality that Heaven Hill Bottled and Bond brings to every sip. Heaven Hill reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I just want to get out and cook with people who are cool.
That's awesome, man. How did Bill Murray ruin your anniversary dinner?
Yeah, I put that in my bio. Yeah. So Husk Restaurant, Charleston, South Carolina. I don't know if anyone's ever been.
Know it very well. Yeah. I've been there many times. I trained with Sean Brock, actually.
So, you know, big fan. I'd been to McCready's. My sister-in-law was living in Charleston, and we made reservations to go. And after we had made reservations, it was the year that it was named, was it the best new restaurant in the country by Andrew Knowlton? Yeah. Bon Appetit. It had just been announced. And then we realized that we were going to be eating there during restaurant week, which is notably a shit show anytime there's a restaurant week. Although, you know, Sean's awesome and I had super high hopes. But we go in the restaurant. Bill Murray, who's amazing, is sitting in my section, which is really cool. So he's at the next table.
Awesome.
What that also means is he's going to have four waiters, mm-hmm. including like your waiter. And if you're not Bill Murray, you don't really get good service. So that means like getting your first cocktail at 7 and like by the end of dinner at 9:30, nobody's even asked if you want a new one. And when your ice cream comes, they don't bring you a spoon. So your ice cream's just like melting and you're trying to eat it with a fork and stuff like that.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It was like my wife and I talk about the worst dinner we've ever had. Like we talk about having better service at like a diner than we had at home. And we had been so excited. It was our wedding anniversary. You know, it's not cheap to eat at a place like that. And we were so looking forward to it. And this was like, again, like back at the heyday, you know, they really had been open, you know, maybe a year or so.
Well, did you reach out really to them and tell them?
So they were super good about getting us like a comp dinner at McCready's the next night. So like, I recognized it. Yeah. I'm not like a Yelper or anything that. I went over and talked to the front of the house manager who I knew a little bit. Like we had already talked previously on Twitter over the years. And just said, like, yeah, service was, like, really disappointing. It was super hard to even get a hold of anyone.
Yeah.
So they said, like, I don't know what you're doing tomorrow night, but we'd love for you to come into McCready's. And McCready's has always been awesome. I've known almost all the chefs who've cooked there over the years and have had just some amazing dinners there.
Dude, the pig ear with you know, butter leaf lettuce, the pig ear taco. I think the butter leaf tacos with pig ears. That shit was delicious.
Yeah. I mean, we had some good food when we were at Husk. And then, you know, you want to go over and say hi to Bill Murray, but it's like you also don't want to bug the guys there with, like, his wife and kids. And
he's fucking your dinner up. Of course you go say hi to him.
Go over and make a big scene, like, bang on the table and be like, at least I'm going to get to say hi to you because my dinner was garbage. But when you see, like, four waiters coming over to a table and they all, like, simultaneously, like, sync up and put a plate down all at once, and then like some busser comes by and like just drops your dessert on the table. It's annoying.
Yeah, it is annoying. I mean, you should just sat behind him with a cigarette in your mouth, just going, Venkman.
And I think the thing that really annoyed me is like places like that, because I think so many chefs love Sean Brock and so many of the food writers, there's no bad press on it, right? Like everything you read, and I think food reviewing in this country gets skewed sometimes. It's like not a single person out there is saying anything bad about this. Like everyone pretty much says this is like the best restaurant around. And let me tell you, it was the worst experience I had. And I did a blog post on it for my website. And then I was like, that's kind of shitty. And I like took it down. And then I think like Why'd 2 months later, I put it back up. I don't know, because I didn't want to be that guy. I felt like it was like writing a Yelp review. I know. But yeah. But
I don't know.
This was like 10, 12 years ago. I was a little younger and probably more brash then. So I wrote it out of anger. And then but you know, Sean's great. And I like him. And, you know, I've liked his restaurants. I'm sad that he left Charleston. And now you have to go even further down to Tennessee to get his food.
Let's talk about how beautiful the city Charleston is, though, right? How gorgeous is that city?
Oh, amazing. My sister-in-law just moved away from there this summer, like 2 months ago. So I don't know how often we're going to get down there, but we were going every single year and had been for like a decade.
Yeah, I leave for Nashville on Sunday, man. I'm going to be there for 3 days. I'm excited.
Oh, that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I can't wait. I know the boys have a couple of questions for you, too. Yeah. Man, I've been running my mouth the whole time here, Jeffy. I apologize, Dan. Dan, maybe before we get to questions, get this plug out there. Before those questions, get those plugs out there for him. Sorry, I got all mushed out there.
Real quick, though, that's some bullshit. Fuck Bill Murray. You're a customer. Like, you should. No, there's no fucking. Everybody's a VIP. Everybody should get the same service. Everybody should be dealt with the same way because Bill Murray shows up one day Man, fuck that. All these customers are important. Like, that shit drives me crazy. Like,
you ever make sure seen a grown man naked?
Everybody. Sorry, I had to get that out there.
Good man.
Check out my man, Chris Spear. Chefs Without Restaurants on IG, chefswithoutrestaurants.com. And his spot, Perfect Little Bites, perfectlittlebites.com. Doing big things. That's and he's going to take care of you. He's going to make sure everybody's happy.
Everybody's happy. Even if Bill Murray's
everybody
there, fuck that.
Everybody in the club.
Yeah, fuck Bill Murray.
Everybody. He makes the best food.
I would not fuck Bill Murray. He doesn't seem like a my style.
It would smell like mothballs, I think.
I bet he drinks scotch.
You think so? What was he drinking, Chef? Do you remember?
Oh, I don't remember. I could barely even look over them. And then, you know, like, my wife's kind of annoyed because it's like, it's our anniversary, right? And I keep looking. She's like, it's just he's just another guy. I'm like, it's Bill
fucking
Murray.
Bill Murray.
Like, how could I sit here and eat this, like, fried chicken skin buffalo wing thing with Bill Murray's, like, right over there? I'm trying not to. And I guess it's not a big deal. Like, he lives down there and is, like, you know, I guess he's a regular there. And people are like, oh, it's just, like, another day. Bill Murray's in here all the time. I'm like, if he's in here all the time, why is he getting, like, all the service?
He's there,
like,
every time. He's a regular there because he gets 9 servers every time he goes. I'd go back, too.
True.
Shit. All right, Jeffy, so the floor is yours, my friend. I apologize. I've been talking a lot.
No, please. I interject loudly. It's fine. I would be remiss if I didn't talk to you about Scrapple Dip. You know, shout out to Scotty Scrapple Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Over at Mac Media. He's a good friend of mine. He's from down that way.
Friend of yours.
Pennsylvania. Friend of ours. Friend of ours. Friend of ours. Sorry. talk to me about Scrapple Dip.
Hurtful.
Ooh,
that is
yeah.
Hurtful. That is shitty.
I have a whole bunch of attitude about Scrapple Dip. One, the deliciousness, and two, the fact that McCormick stole it and pretended it was theirs. But where do you want me to start?
Both. Talk about
what it is.
Tell
us what it is.
I didn't grow up with. Do you know? Everyone know what Scrapple is? Like baseline.
Yes, we do. Okay.
Love
Let's assume that listeners
us?
Don't. Yeah. Cool. So let's explain.
You
what
know,
it is.
It's. I had to explain to my kids the other day why it's called Scrapple. It's made from scraps. Usually, you know, pork, right? And it's. Mm-hmm. Organ meats, all the stuff you don't really want. It's like the heart, the kidneys, mm-hmm. the liver. There might be some anus in there. Like, they just take everything
there,
left, and they boil it up with some cornmeal and then let it set. And then you buy it that way. So it's already like everything's pre-cooked at that point. And then you just slice it up. And I like it nice and crispy. Some people like to, you know, put a little flour on it to get extra crispy and do it in a pan. It's delicious. So kind of like a sausage. I don't like too much liver in it. Like, around here, some people will say it's Scrapple, and it's really liver mush. And then you heat it, and it just, like, slacks out, and it's, like, runny
like
liver.
Pennies.
Yeah, that's not my favorite. But, you know, as a chef, I think I hated waste, food waste. And, you know, working in a place where you have a hotline, like a retirement community, there's an opportunity to have a lot of waste. So we would have Scrapple on the menu for breakfast, and it, you know, it took a little time to cook, and my cooks would always say they couldn't cook it to order. They had to cook it ahead of time. So they would, you know, batch, they make a pound or two at a time. And every time they made it, they'd like take this pan with like 5 or 6, 7 slices and throw it in the trash. I'm like, what are you doing? They're like, it's cooked Scrapple. Like, we can't do anything with this. I'm like, challenge accepted. Like, we're going to see. And one day I just took it back and I threw the half hotel pan on the counter back there. And then we were doing something. And it was like one of those Reese's peanut butter cup moments. Like, we were prepping out some Maryland crab dip for a party, which is, you know, like cream cheese and cheddar cheese and mayo and all this stuff. It's like an Old Bay. And I was like, what if we just, like, not for the party, but like, what if we just took the crab out and put Scrapple? And my cooks are like, are you kidding me? I'm like, no, like, what if we, like, took the Scrapple and pureed it in the food processor with some cream cheese and mayonnaise and cheddar cheese and hot sauce and Old Bay, and then broiled it up like it was crab dip, but with, like, Scrapple that costs $1 a pound instead of, like, $40 a pound crab. And that's how it was born. And it started as kind of like a joke, you know, like sometimes those things that end up on staff meal that end up actually on the restaurant menu. So that was one of my recipes. And I tell people, like, you don't even need the recipe. If you have a recipe for, like, Maryland crab dip, just pound for pound, ounce for ounce, take out the crab and put in Scrapple. But
wow. Okay.
I blogged about it. I posted it up on social media. It's got Old Bay in it. And then, I don't know, people can steal your stuff all the time and you don't see it. But there was it was right up before the Super Bowl a couple years ago, and there was a blog post, and McCormick sponsored it and put it up, and they said 50 dips from 50 states. We want to pick a dip from every single state, and they didn't know what to do for Delaware. I wasn't even living in Delaware. This was like Maryland, right? And they called it Delaware Scrapple Dip. And I looked at it and was like, what the fuck is this? Like, you can say there is nothing creative left in the world, but nobody in the world had made damn Scrapple Dip before that. And they changed like one slight measurement on there. And then they put it up on their website like it was theirs.
Yo.
And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, if you Google Scrapple Dip, you're going to find like two recipes. You're going to find McCormick's or you're going to find mine. Or you're going to find it on like one of those like all recipes websites.
What the
fuck?
But then the more annoying thing is some woman literally wrote the book called Scrapple, and she included that recipe in the book. Stop citing it. McCormick as the creator. No, there's a woman who wrote a book called Scrapple, and the recipe's in the book. And nobody will answer me about this. And I kind of
Jeffy, let's find out who she is.
We're getting her on the podcast. Yep. We're going to have you on.
Yep. We're going to fucking sidewinder.
It's just one of these things where like, I'll just like get on Twitter and be like, hey, it's National Scrapple Day. It's also the day I like to remind you all that Amy so-and-so put this recipe of mine in her book without fact-checking that McCormick stole it. And like nobody will ever answer my tweets or even respond to me. And it's, you know, it's kind of upsetting because McCormick's here in Maryland, and I actually know a few chefs who work there, and I'm pretty sure they're people who are like Facebook friends with me and probably saw it and just thought they're gonna be real slick. And I don't know, even though I sound really angry and aggressive here, I'm kind of non-confrontational, and I've never reached out to them to say like, hey, I have a question, like, are you the one who saw this recipe on my Facebook page and then stole it and pretended it was yours?
Chef, here's the good news. You got new friends now here in the Boys of Plum Low Foods.
we are
confrontational. Oh, we can't wait. We're getting all of them on the show.
Like, just check the dates. Like, my website is like 2014. Like, dates don't lie. Like, find it anywhere in existence prior to 2014. And I want the story. How did you create Scrapple Dip? You guys think you created it? Awesome. Tell me the origin story.
How you
did something so weird as to taking Scrapple and basically making Maryland crab dip with it. You don't have a story. But
if we can get NASA on the phone to be on this fucking podcast, we can get McCormick's or that fucking weird writer, Jeffy. We got to get her on for our brother.
So that's my story. I'm sticking with
it. The book is called Scrapple.
If you just, her name, I think, is Amy something, and I could find it. Like, there's not that many books on Scrapple. There's like two books on Scrapple.
All right, Chef.
For real.
So, if we get her on the show, will you come on here with us? We'll do all the talking.
Absolutely.
Hell yeah. Let's go. Scrapple by
William Boys.
I'm doing this.
Tell her you want to, I mean, I want to listen to a whole podcast episode about Scrapple anyway. So,
we'll do a whole episode with her.
Amy Strauss.
Amy Strauss, that's her. She will not answer my tweets about how that recipe ended up in her book.
Amy Strauss, we're coming for you.
Listen. We'll do the whole episode with her, and then at the last 10 minutes, we'll be like, so we got a question about this recipe in here. We're bringing in an expert. This is Chef Chris Spear. He's a Scrapple expert, and we're going to talk about a Scrapple dip on page 347 or whatever.
What I think, you know, again, what I think is really so annoying is because I felt like it was the first unique thing I'd ever done, and I actually had been in conversation for it to be published in a publication. And then once it kind of like came out that like, oh, well, someone else kind of has this on their website, then it looked like I was copying them. So that was annoying. But I really felt like when they say there are no new recipes out there, and this was something that I felt was like super unique, that literally I couldn't find any reference point anywhere in the world.
Whoa.
That like it was the first time that like I saw that someone took something that I felt was mine. And, you know, nobody, if you had said like, hey, this is really awesome, I'd love for it to be featured on our website, I'd be like, hell yeah.
Yeah.
Just attach my name to it.
Dude, we're doing this. This is just understand. Remember, you said yes to this. Like
I said yes to this. I'm yeah.
Just the deep end of the pool. I'm just giving you the heads up.
People who know me know that I'm kind of salty about this whole Scrapple Dip thing.
You should be.
You should be.
We like you a lot. So we're going they're gonna meet the Danimal here. Dan, tell them.
Yeah. Fuck that lady. Fuck her and Bill Murray.
He's gonna bring up Bill Murray to her. He's gonna blame your Bill Murray dinner on her too. You watch. No. She's gonna bring that shit up.
We got so many hot takes here tonight.
How we roll.
You're still here? The podcast's over. If you are indeed still here, thanks for taking the time to listen to the show. I'd love to direct you to one place, and that's chefswithoutrestaurants.org. From there, you'll be able to join our email newsletter, get connected in our free Facebook group, and join our personal chef, catering, and food truck database so I can help get you more job leads. And you'll also find a link to our sponsor page where you'll find products and services I love. You pay nothing additional to use these links, but I may get a small commission, which helps keep the Chefs Without Restaurants podcast and organization running. You might even get a discount for using some of these links. As always, you can reach out to me on Instagram at Chefs Without Restaurants or send me an email at chefswithoutrestaurants@gmail.com. Thanks so much.